Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody yesterday said she asked the FBI and state law enforcement to investigate Mike Bloomberg after he raised over $16 million to help felons, again, pay outstanding fees to regain their voting rights. Governor DeSantis asked Moody to look into Bloomberg's effort in Florida, suggesting that the former mayor of New York City and the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition violated election law by offering incentives for voting. Today on Fox and Friends, Attorney General Ashley Moody said that there's a part of a memo, a Bloomberg memo, that has raised concerns. And the memo says, and I'm quoting, "We know to win Florida, we will need to persuade, motivate, and add new votes to the Biden column. This means we need to explore all avenues for finding the needed votes when so many votes are already determined." Moody said about that, when you look at the memo and what was alleged, when you hear words like, we need to get this done, investing money to targeted particular groups of voters that may be predisposed to vote a certain way, that raises concerns that you are directly influencing or even indirectly giving money to persuade votes to go a certain way. Now, Felix has been looking at this case and also at some of the laws that the Attorney General is citing that she believes Mike Bloomberg may have run afoul on. What have you found?
Right. So, and a lot of this comes down to the language and how you interpret it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do point, counterpoint, play devil's advocate, and show both sides of the arguments that can be made for the Democrats and the Republicans. And it basically comes down to simple wording about who is getting the money directly. And that's what the key factor is going to be in this determination, whether or not this investigation can move forward. Now, yesterday, the Attorney General issued her memo, which you kind of alluded to as well, citing Washington Post article about Bloomberg, a Florida not-for-profit corporation annual report from the Rights Restoration Group. And then she lists a whole bunch of state and federal election laws that I was, you know, you typically people wouldn't look at them. I was like, well, let me go see what they say, actually, and see what the argument they're trying to make. The first one is, I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but I'm just going to say them by number. Section 104.012 deals with anyone who gives anything of value that is redeemable in cash, any person in consideration for his or her vote becoming a registered voter commits a felony. Here's the point and counterpoint. The Bloomberg camp and the Democrats are going to argue, well, we're not paying the voters to register. We're paying their core costs and fees so they can register if they want, is what the argument is going to be. There's no guarantee they're going to register. There's no guarantee they're going to vote for Joe Biden or, you know, Donald Trump, or show up at all, or write in Ryan Gorman, their favorite talk show host, as a candidate.
There's no quid pro quo, period.
Right. What Moody and Matt Gaetz, who was on Fox News last night, basically saying you're paying them to register. Why else would you pay their fees? Because you know they're going to vote for Joe Biden. That's the counterpoint that they're going to argue.
But that's an assumption. And look, I think it's a logical assumption, but you can't prove that. And they're not doing anything overtly through the paying of the fines, fees, court costs, restitution, all of that, and requiring something in return.
Right. So that's the one that deals with the voter registration issue. The second one that she cites is section 104.061, corruptly influencing voting. Now, this deals with directly telling people that either they're influencing, deceiving, or deterring any elector in voting or interfering with him or her in their free exercise of the elector's rights. Democrats are going to argue there's no influence in telling them who to vote for. They're still simply enabling them or giving them the ability to go vote by making them eligible by paying off their court fees and costs. The Republicans are going to argue the indirect part of that, saying you're indirectly attempting to influence them once again because, hey, look what we're doing for you. You know, hope you go, you know, vote we can rely on you to cast your vote for Joe Biden, they're going to say that's an indirect attempt to influence the voters. And it depends on, also, the Rights Restoration Group has to be very careful. Once they, if they make a payment on behalf of the voter, the felon voter in this case, they really should not suggest one way or the other who they should vote for. Now, what they can do is then put them on their mailing list and send them literature after the fact. That would be perfectly fine. If there's a direct communication between whoever is paying the court costs or whoever the representative, whether it be a lawyer or one of their staff members who physically goes and pays the court costs, there should be no communication between them and the voter after that is done. I think that would take out a lot of this gray area that Moody and other people are raising. The third thing that she references was interesting because it goes back to the 2016 election and a memo that was sent to the League of Women, the League of Voters Extraordinaire, as they're called, in Florida. And this was an effort where they proposed giving out gift cards to people to register to vote or come to vote by mail drives or voter registration drives. And what the government said, and this is under the Scott administration and also then Secretary Ken Dentzner, who was the Secretary of State at the time, they basically said you can't give money to people in any form in order that you're paying out. This goes directly to into the hands of the voter because that would be vote buying. So the distinction here is that the money is not going directly into the hands of the voter in this particular case. It's going to be paid from Bloomberg to the organization, from the organization to the clerk's office. It's not like the organization, the Rights Restoration Group, is going to cut a check for $865 for Morgan Lash to go pay off her, you know, red light citation so she can vote. Extreme example, but one of our fun ones that we like to throw out there. And so that's the difference that you can see. They also made a reference to what a camp or a political group expenditure can be. You can spend money to influence people in the terms of like ads and sending out and holding events, holding rallies where people can come, you know, talk about, you know, Joe Biden or host a forum or some sort of thing like that. That's perfectly fine. They drew the line once again saying you can expend money to influence those voters that may become registered, but you can't directly pay them to go register. And that's, again, that was their own memo from the Republican Party in 2016, which I think is different from what they're trying to do here, what Bloomberg and the Rights Restoration Group are doing.
Well, I made the point last night, Bloomberg's not a stupid guy. He's got really smart people around him, and I had a feeling he probably went through all of this to figure out exactly how to do it. Now, is there any question as to what the goal is on the part of Mike Bloomberg? No. He's dropping $100 million in TV ads in this state to help Joe Biden win the state because he thinks if Florida goes for Joe Biden, that Trump will lose re-election. There's no question that he has taken a look at the electorate, the makeup of the electorate, when it includes felons who had their voting rights restored. And he clearly found that that would be beneficial to Democrats and Joe Biden. I mean, this is just obvious common sense stuff, okay? Not doing this out of the goodness of his heart. He's got a lot of money, and this is one way he can help. And it does, look, it helps the felons who don't have the ability to pay off what they owe. It gives them their right to vote back. But there's a calculated strategy here. The thing is, there's nothing stopping Republicans from doing the same thing.
Exactly. And there are...
there could be a Republican organization that goes out and does the same thing. And you don't have Bloomberg or the organization... what's the name of the organization that's really
the Rights Restoration Group.
Right. They're not specifically telling the people, okay, well, if we pay off whatever it is you need paid off so you can get your voting rights restored, you have to vote for Joe Biden and Democrats. They're not saying, they're not even saying you have to go register to vote. They're just giving them the ability to do so if they so choose. And I would bet that they're probably going to pay off the fines, fees, court costs, all of that for a number of people who probably aren't going to go vote.
Right, exactly. And this is something I brought up time and time again. In the lawsuit that was filed that went through the federal court system is now up on appeal, they did a breakdown of the demographics of who this disproportionately affected, and it was African-Americans and Hispanics in terms of the number of convicted felons that are out there. However, there's not been an analysis, and there's no way this can be done, really, as to decide. You can assume that African-Americans are going to break for Joe Biden, white felons are going to break for Donald Trump, and vice versa. And
Bloomberg's making a calculated, intelligent assumption.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
I'm talking about what the law says about this whole entire issue. So what you think a calculated assumption is not necessarily a violation of law. Now, if you're a Republican, you can spin it one way. If you're a Democrat, you can spin it another way, just like we're doing right now. That's all hypotheticals. And I pointed out 2 years ago that there are felons that they started running those felon rights ads involving white people saying, I'm a convicted felon. They're standing in front of their nice, you know, picket fence house and everything like that. And what did they probably do? Maybe they got busted for shoplifting when they were in college, you know, a grand theft that they needed to, you know, wipe off the record and plead guilty to it. I did a segment on 98 Rock 2 years ago on Election Day about this because we had people calling in, and the number one felon that was attributed to some white people was driving on a suspended license and making and becomes a felony. There are felon fishing regulations that get constantly violated during fishing seasons, and, you know, molesting a crab trap, one of my favorites, you know, just saying that. It sounds silly, but it's a felony.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think there's broad assumptions being made about what this magical electorate would be. And then if you get between now and October 5th, how many people are you going to get registered? I mean, that's going to be a massive undertaking.
And here's the thing. Just the optics of what Moody and DeSantis and Petronas got involved, the CFO here in the state of Florida, just the optics, Matt Gaetz, what they're saying. They have put so much time and effort into fighting to make sure that fines, fees, and court costs were part of the sentence, and that had to be paid back before felon voting rights can be restored. They put so much effort into that, and now you've got a situation where they're getting what they asked for, they're getting it paid off, but they don't like how it's being done and what it could potentially mean. And so then the question becomes, well, was it really about what the sentence includes, or is it just because you don't want certain people to have an easy path to voting? And also on the political side of this, you've got the president, you've got Republicans. They're touting the inroads that they've been trying to make with Black Americans, with Hispanics. Why not go ahead and do the same thing that Michael Bloomberg is doing here? You've got billionaires within your party. Why don't you get Sheldon Adelson to pony up a little bit of money to help felons restore their voting rights? And this time it'll have come from you. Now, you're just like Bloomberg's not allowed to say, hey, you need to vote for a Democrat if we take care of this for you. You can't say that. But just putting in the effort and saying, we do want your voting rights to be restored. We're going to help you with the costs that you wouldn't be able to pay off yourself. That, to me, sends a pretty good message. Now, the final question I have for you, Felix, this was something that came up recently. In a lot of the cases, we've talked about this before, these court costs and fines and fees, they would potentially be waived anyway.
Right, because the way that, and I've explained this before, when if people are on probation, and this is kind of like, I'm kind of looking at the people that are on probation, but again, I'm dealing with Hillsborough County, so where I had the most experience as a prosecutor, is that when you came in to terminate your probation, you've done everything, and you want to get off probation early, and usually it's at the halfway point, so say you got 2 years probation for possession of cocaine, you come in 1 year, and what my judge did was so organized and wonderful, Judge Campbell and Judge Holder, what they did is they would ask their probation officers, they'd set a special docket on one particular day. I would usually handle it because it was easier than having all my attorneys have all their cases reopened. And so the Department of Corrections, the probation officer, they would prepare a report for the judge and one for me saying, they've completed their community service hours. They did all their drug treatment. They owe $400 in outstanding court costs. Otherwise, they've completed everything. They've been a model probation officer, probationer. That was a typical report I got every single month when we did this. What the judge would do is that she would waive he or she would waive the court costs or convert the fines to a lien. Most of the time, it was just waiving the court costs. That was entered onto the docket and became part of the court file that you no longer owed anything. If it got converted to a lien, then if you bought a house, whatever, then you would have to pay it off.
And the reason I bring that up is because there were a couple of comments that, well, these people, they haven't finished their sentence until they paid everything off. So this is basically like a loophole to where they don't have to finish their sentence. But what those individuals were saying that don't realize is that a lot of times they don't wind up having to pay this off anyway.
Exactly.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.